Hallelujah. I don't know how I'm supposed to do this. If I'm supposed to lay down and... Let's see. Can I move this without breaking my back? Good morning. Namaste. Can you believe the missionary emphasis that God has given this fellowship? It seems like every other week we're up here talking about going or coming or praying over somebody and rejoicing when we get back. And so we're going to just kind of take a trip this morning. First of all, we're going to take a trip. You know, I think that Rachel outdid us because they went west over Alaska and the Pacific. And I could not believe when I saw the flight plan of where we were going, because I've been to Europe lots of times in Africa and even been to India before, but I'd go through Europe. This time we found a flight from Chicago straight to India. You know where that plane went? It went up over Greenland. It went over Norway. And then I couldn't believe it. It turned south and went over Russia. And we didn't get shot. And then it went over Afghanistan and we didn't get shot. We looked down, we saw Kabul, you know. Well, we didn't see it. We just saw that that's where we were, you know. Then we landed in Delhi, India. And marvelous time. Rachel, did you have a great time? How many hours were you on the plane? Myanmar. Wow. Well, on our way back, we counted 30 hours by the time we got to the airport till we got to Lindale, and that was without laying down. So we're all, Rachel and the India team, we're recuperating. I think I've just about got it beat to where that I can sleep at night and so on, but we just rejoice at what God did. Several of us are going to share this morning. Charlotte's coming first, and then Bob.
What a wonderful time that the Lord gave us. Back in January, you might remember that Joe requested prayer for Joab Suchitra because their 25-year-old son had passed away with a sickle cell disease. And they were so grieving, so hard, and so forth. But and then come September, when we had our conference, Suchitra and her son wanted to come over so badly to be with us, and we wanted them to come so we could be with them and love on them a little bit. Well, it didn't happen. Only Joab could come. Well, we had a chance to go over there and be with them. And while we were there, the youngest son, the oldest son's name was Deku. He's with the Lord. The youngest son, who is 19, had his birthday while we were there. His name is Kitu. So while we were celebrating Kitu's birthday, cutting the cake, suddenly she broke down crying because she remembered that this time last year, Deku was with them for his birthday. So, you know, I feel like the Lord had me there for that one purpose, and that was mainly one of the reasons that I wanted to go so badly this time, was to be there and be with her and Joab, because they're still mourning and they're still hurting. But, you know, this whole team was able to be there, and we ran up and we grabbed her and let her cry on our shoulders and hug her and be with her. And then she got herself together, and we were able to celebrate a wonderful birthday for Kitu. And so you're going to be seeing some pictures, because we saw how God moved through the whole week that we were there and the people that came out. And it's a different culture, totally different. But you know what? We were able to blend in, love them, and they loved on us. And we're so grateful for what God is doing through Joab and through his wife, Suchitra, and their whole team in India. And this morning, you're going to be blessed when you see and you hear what God is doing. Bob? Where's Bob? There he is.
Good morning. I've been to prison. They let me out this morning, yeah. A little bit bigger audience than what we got here was what I had this morning. I'm grateful for each and every time that I get to go in prison. I've kind of neglected my friend Randall and his trip to Cofield, but we'll get back on that. But anyway, India was an experience. I have to disagree with Charlotte, though. We didn't blend in. We stuck out like that. Cynthia might have blended in a little bit, but Charlotte and Joe and I and them 17 people from Iowa, we stuck out mightily. Couldn't speak a word of Indian. Didn't even learn one word while I was there. But a great time that we had, and it was an experience. I likened India to Mexico. Some of y'all have been to Mexico, probably most of you. India's kind of like Mexico on steroids, especially the poor part. I mean, we see and minister very, very poor people down there in Mexico, but India has so many more. Part of me hates to tell this part. I'm going to tell it anyway. When Joab was here last time, I asked him if I could get a sports jacket made over there. I have very few sports coats in my life. I'm not sure I've even had one suit. But I've had several sports coats. They've always been just off the rack. I thought I'd like to have one tailor-made if it wasn't for me, if it wasn't too expensive. So I did. But on the way there, I got to talking to my interpreter, and that was quite a job. He understood everything I said, but I had a rough time understanding his English. But anyway, he told me that there was over 8 million people in Hyderabad. That's where we were, the fourth largest city in India. I asked him about their annual wages. And we finally got it that he told me that it had just came out that 60% of the people in the Hyderabad area made less than 10,000 rupees a year. That's about $200. About $200. They've got these little three-wheel taxis. They can fit three people in there comfortably. Or semi-comfortably, I guess. Two in the back and one up with the driver on this little scooter thing. But we saw them that had been modified a little bit where the back had been taken out of because they got this convertible-like cover over it. And I bet there was 20 people in there. I mean, they were stacked in there. Any way, any means of transportation, they just flog in there. It's an entirely different world. Without experiencing it, you can't even imagine it. But I told Joe and some of the rest of them, if you think you're being called, you think God's calling you to India, you need to go. Because, you know, in my life, I have not always known when God was calling me. I did know that He called me to the Calvary Commission. But there's been times in my life when I thought God was calling, but I wasn't sure. If you go to India, you can be sure whether God's calling you or not. Because it's 140 in the summertime in southern India. If God's not calling you, you ain't going to be able to make it through that heat. But if He is calling you, you'll do all right. One of the things that impressed me the most about India was their exuberance for Christ. They were on fire. They danced. They sang. There was something like 2,000 people, which you'll see, greeted us when we got off the bus. and nothing. They don't take no for an answer. You dance. Don't make any difference. You got a bad knee, bad back, you're overweight, whatever, you dance. And so we danced. We danced, and we danced, and we danced. Didn't learn a thing about it, but we danced. But anyway, we had a blessed time. We experienced things that I've never experienced before. This one little guy come up to me, and he says, you pray. So I tried to understand what he wanted prayer for. I don't remember whether he had any maladies or he hurt or he just wanted prayer. But I prayed for him. And I raised my head, and there was a line of about 40 people waiting to be prayed for. And I prayed and I prayed and I prayed. And when I finally got through, Joe says, you don't have to pray for him just one at a time. You can pray for him in bunches. I prayed for him one at a time until the last day. And then I prayed for him in bunches. But I didn't ever pray for over about three at a time. But they, whatever their reasoning, they wanted prayer. They wanted prayer. And they thought that for whatever they did think, they thought that that we, the guests of their Silver Jubilee, were what they wanted to pray for them. So we prayed for them. But I'm going to tell you, those people are poor in spirit, and God loves them. And God pours into their hearts the things that we should let into our hearts, the love of Jesus. The love of Jesus. I think it was Joe that somebody over there asked Joab what the rate of success was on the people that come from the orphanages after they grow up and get educated, whatever they do, and go on. And he looked at him like, duh. 100%. They don't want anything less than that. They raise those kids up as Christians. And it's a marvelous thing to see. It's a marvelous thing to see. I'm exceptionally blessed that I was able to see it. But I'm telling you, from Chicago to Delhi was 14 hours, and from Delhi to Chicago was 16 hours. And when you got legs as long as mine, and you got to keep them folded up in this little area there, it's not easy. But I decided that I won't be flying first class, because while I was up on the flight on the way over there, walking around trying to get some life back into my limbs, there was a flight attendant, they used to call them stewardesses, sitting there, and I got talking to her. She was in this little jump seat. I said, say, by the way, would you happen to know the difference between the price of the first class seat and the economy seat where I'm sitting? Oh, yeah, she says, if you go to the counter and buy the ticket, the difference is $8,000. Cynthia's only one I know that can raise that kind of money. Thank you very much. God bless you.
Thanks, Bob. One of my favorite scriptures, Ephesians 3:20, says, now unto him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all you could ask or think, according to the power that works in you. I don't know exactly what I was looking for as far as going to attend this Silver Jubilee celebration. I'd been to India 5 times before, but I can say it was phenomenal. It was much more than I had anticipated. Do you know that God knows more than we do? 1986, I got a letter from India from a man named Joab. And immediately I thought, oh, another foreigner wanting to come to the United States. You know, I can't do anything for this. Opened the letter and it said, I saw your logo and I want to start a Calvary Commission in India. God knows more than we do, because what I thought I knew was to write him back and say, we have no intention of starting a Calvary Commission in India, and you cannot use our name. Got another letter a few months later. I have fasted. I have prayed. I really feel that God wants me to do this, and we have started. I thought, what a rebel. And I just kind of discarded the whole idea. And then I found a magazine, and I was looking at it, a missions magazine from overseas, and I noticed that the editor was Joab Lohara. I said, oh, my goodness, Lord, that's the same guy. So I wrote him. I said, looks like that you're doing well. And he wrote right back, I've got some missionaries now, and we've been operating for a while, and I wrote him back. I said, I'd like to meet you someday. He wrote me back. He said, that's interesting because I've been invited to a conference in the United States, first time in the United States. And I wrote him back. I said, I would like to meet you. And he said, I've booked a flight to Tyler. So I went out to the airport in Tyler, and I saw this man coming off, and I greeted him and invited him to our home and then invited him to speak in chapel. And he spoke in chapel. And he brought me some shoes that were too small from India, a little garb that he wanted to give us. You know, they're little people there. And I wasn't all that big, but it didn't fit. But we tried. And he shared about how that his missionaries that he had started bringing in, that they were walking from village to village, and that a bicycle would certainly be nice. And he needed about 15 bicycles. And I said, Charlotte, and I'll buy one. And he smiled real big. Well, that's a beginning. And some more people at Calvary Commission that morning said that. One of our men that was our clerk over at, first of all, at East Ham, then at Cofield, had an operation that week and died because of the surgery. So that night we went out to the home, and I said, Joab, you want to go with me and see kind of how United States does funerals? Oh, yes, I would. I got there and I said, this is Joab and he needs bicycles. And I got blamed as the only people that I'd ever seen that could take an offering at a funeral. When he left, he had those bicycles. Now, that was the beginning. The next year, I went to India for the very first time. And the very next year after that, 94, I went to India, climbed a mountain, got all the way to the top, and they told us that we needed to stay for the service. I said, but there's cars down waiting for us. They said, we will send some runners down there to tell them you're not coming back. And I said, well, we really need to go back. And then they came and they said, you can't go back. The wild elephants are in the river. I said, okay, we'll just have church all night. And I noticed that all the people had hot heads when we prayed for them that night, not knowing that we had walked right into a malaria epidemic. And I wrote in my journal, I couldn't sleep very much because the mosquitoes were so noisy, not realizing how dangerous they really were. And we got back to Romania, and on our way back home, and all of a sudden it hit me. I thought it was Deli Belly, but it was worse than that. It was falciparum, deadly malaria, a cerebral condition that 2 days without treatment and you're dead. It had been 5 days before I got back to the United States. And a couple of us, we all got malaria, even Joab. Well, here's the rest of the story. At this conference last week, he called a man up on the stage. Then he called me up on the stage. He said, Joe, this is the man whose house you stayed in that where you got malaria. And now he's the pastor of a large church. There's 4,000 people there in that area that have accepted the Lord. So I had to say, thank you, Lord, for malaria. Now, here's what we went to be part of. 25 years later, from those 15 missionaries, there are 950 churches, 90,000 members of those churches. There are 19 orphanages, 20,000 19 orphanages and 2,000 children in those orphanages being raised for God, like Bob said. A Bible college that turns out people, like Joab says, 100%, they're all in the ministry. That's why they go there. Like Bob said, duh. That's why they go there, so that they'll get into the ministry. And we were able to be with a young man named Sunil that was part of the first orphanage, the Josiah and Bethany Children's Home of Orissa, India. And today he is married. He's on staff. He was just a little boy off the streets. These 2,000 kids were all homeless kids sleeping on concrete, in the gutter, in the slums, delivered and restored. One time when Joab was over here, back in the early days, well, you know, we were into little joyful worship, you know, something like this, and like a little David dance or something like that. And I was back in India after that, and I was on the platform, and they were worshiping, and I really felt the Lord spoke to me and said, "You dance at home, will you dance here?" Well, I didn't want to, but I felt like I better. So I got out there, and this man got with me, and we did some stuff like this, you know, and so on. Well, like Bob said, when we got there, they filled the whole front, and they did circle dancing. Joab said, "I told you I was going to teach the Indians how to dance, Joe." Well, they worshiped the Lord. For them, it was a celebration of 25 years. They came from all over India. All of those churches were represented, and they were able to come together and in the afternoon, we had some cultural times where this group up near Nepal would come and they'd do their Nepalese thing, and you'll see some of this on the video. So let's just go to India right now, and then Cynthia's going to come and share in a minute. They're from the pub. That's the orphanage. One of them.
Consumed to ashes, all plants and dying on. King of creation, come reign here alone. Sovereign of sovereigns, let your kingdom come. As is in heaven, let your will be done. Till every nation has heard of your name. Jesus Almighty, the Lamb that was. Lamb of God, Holy One, risen King, salvation, you shall reign forevermore. Lamb of God, I adore. We adore you, God. Mighty in battle, now my victor be. Death has no power when you hold the key. Mindful forever when facing my foes, the grave is empty from it you arose. Lamb of God, Holy One, risen King, salvation, you shall reign. Salvation. from now until then. Thine be the glory forever, amen. 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 Thine be the glory,
Cynthia has been on several continents. This was a new one. And she was able to experience some new things. And she's going to share with us this morning some of these things. She has a new assignment. Brother Joab came up to her and said, "Can I give you a burden?" You see, this first orphanage was sponsored by some individuals, not really by a church. Some of the others, a whole church, took the whole orphanage and raised the money to build it and sponsor the children. But we had individuals that were being able to give $20 a month, and then they kind of dwindled out and forgot, and we have 75 children there want to try to raise up sponsored for 80 because there's more room there. And so Brother Joab said, "Cynthia, I just would like to give you a burden. Could you help us and represent us in the United States for this Josiah and Bethany Children's Home?" And so she agreed to do it. So you need to pray for her as she gets on new waters. And what was it that Bob said, that she could raise $8,000 and no one else could? Well, it may be more than that. This is Cynthia. She's going to share a report about India, and she's going to share the word with us this morning.
Gracias, hermano. Amén. Buenos días. Spanish. Amén. Well, I want to thank God for being here this morning with you guys and the prayers and everything that you all have done here in the church. And most of all, I want to thank God for giving us off, because there was a lot of mosquitoes, so I had taken some off with us. Amen. I did get beat a little bit, but I know that we were taking some malaria pills, so I'm grateful for that. I'm grateful for the new responsibility that God has given me in being a representative for this orphanage. Now, you know, when Joab came to me with that, I said, "You need to talk to Joe and Charlotte," you know, because I really don't understand a lot of things that God does, but he's faithful. And at times, I didn't, you know, right away, I didn't feel worthy, because a lot of you don't know my testimony, but the Lord has brought me from prison, and I'm grateful for a Calvary Commission. But not only that, I lost my 5 children, and now the Lord has entrusted me with all these children. Amen. So it is something very, very challenging, but also such a privilege for me. And I know that I can't do anything this morning. I said, "Lord, you own all the cattle on 1,000 hills, and I know you can sell some of them cows, because these kids need some money." Amen. And I know that you can move people's hearts, because I ain't here to look pretty. I'm here to do a work that I have been called to. Now, India was very a blessing for me as far as colors, because they wear all kinds of colors. You know, it's very colorful. Okay, with the dresses and the dancing, there was much, much dancing. But, you know, everything was, I'm grateful for Joab and his family and the vision that he has for India, and also for Joe and you know, just answering the call. Amen. I know that God has placed something in my heart this morning. And I know that it's not about me. It's not about you. It's about what Jesus wants to talk to you this morning. Amen. I will pray right quick and you will agree with me. Father, I thank you this morning, Father, for giving me this opportunity, Father, to minister to your people. And Father, I'm asking you, Holy Spirit, that you will prepare the hearts to receive your message. Father, I invite you, Holy Ghost, that you will remove me out of the way and that you will have your way. Father, just use me, Father, for your kingdom. And Father, I do thank you, Lord, that you are the only one that can open the eyes, the ears, and the heart, Father, of your people. And Father, I just ask you right now that, Father, that you will just put your words in my mouth and bring things to my remembrance of what your people need to hear, Lord. And Father, we do thank you. I thank you for Joab, Lord. I thank you for the work in India, Lord. I thank you for the privilege and the honor, Father, as your word tells us, Father, an eye has not seen. And Father, we know that there's much things in store for us, but at times we limit your power. We limit your power. We limit you because of fear, because of fear of the unknown, because of fear of stepping out in faith. And Father, we're asking you right now, Father, as a church, that you will forgive us. And Lord, we're asking you for forgiveness. And Lord, we pray that you will refresh the calling, that you will refresh the manna, that you will refresh even Jesus in us. And Father, we do thank you, Lord. I thank you for this church. And Father, I commit this time into your hands. En el nombre poderoso de Jesús. Amen. Amen. Well, I thank God for, once again, you know, for being an eye opener for me. And so we're going to go into this word and just hold on because this thing is too. I think you do it this way. I don't know. Anyway, I have some of these things. If you want to be a part of them, I will announce it right now. And those $20 will be a commitment. It says your commitment of $20 monthly or $240 annually will provide for support for the formerly destitute children, including food and clothing and shelter, medicine, education, something that I didn't have. I had only a sixth grade education, but I'm glad that in the kingdom of God, we don't need so much the education. We need Jesus. Amen. So I count it as a privilege for that, but most of all, the spiritual care for these children. And so I've got this over with. Thank you, Lord. Amen. So let's go to the word. In 1 Corinthians, it says, but as it is written, an eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor has it entered into the hearts of men, the things which God has prepared for those who love him. We have no idea what God has prepared for those who love him. Amen. And so I wrote down some notes right here. It says, we have come to the most blessed time to walk with God, but we must not be arrogant. Our feet would not be of any use without the rest of the body. We would not be where we are except for those who have laid down their lives for us. And many have laid down their lives for us. Many have gone before me. And I remember when Jesus called me, he said, an eye has not seen. You have not even heard. You don't even know what I have prepared for you. But not only that, when I came to the kingdom of God, I told him, I said, Lord, if you want me to do this, I don't want to be sitting down in the back road. I want to be in the front line. And I didn't even know what I was asking for. Because in order for him to send me to nations and send me to a world that he loves, he needs to work on me. And I didn't know he wanted the heart and he wanted it all. I didn't know he wanted only 10% or maybe 80%. When I got to Calvary Commission, I told him 1 year and I'm out of here. He said, excuse me, you don't owe me a year. You are very powerful words and you are a very strong woman. You owe me your life. I did not know that it was going to cost a lifetime. And I'm grateful for the people that the Lord has placed in my life so that I may see what God has. They talked about raising money. Let me tell you one thing. I've been with Calvary Commission for, I think, 14, 15 years. And I've got one church supporting the ministry. And it's never stopped the Lord from taking me to nations and doing what he has to do. Only for his glory and only for his honor. I never know where, when, or who he's going to move. But I know that he called me. And I know that he's the provider. Amen. And I know he owns all the cattle on 1,000 hills. And I said, Lord, I'm willing to go. Will you sell some? He said, you know what? You got it, girl. You got it, girl. Because you know what? He's faithful. I don't know where, how. But I know that I have a passion to reach out to his people. He said, much is forgiven, much loveth. We'll go to the next one about following Jesus. I love Jesus. And we're going to go to Luke 9:57-62. He says, now it happened as they turned on the road that someone said to him, Lord, I will follow you wherever you go. How many of us have said that? And sometimes we see it difficult and we won't turn back. And Jesus said to him, foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. Then he said to another, follow me. But he said, Lord, let me first go and bury my father. I have a friend of mine that used to be in the worship team. And his father had died and they came and told him, your father just passed away. And he kept on playing the drums. Let the dead bury their own dead. Jesus said to him, let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and preach the kingdom of God. That's what happened to me one time. I was on my way. We were on our way to Peru. And my granddaughter, she was born premature and she was dying. I had a choice. I said, go to Peru or go to the hospital. I was already on my way to Peru. And I prayed and I said, Lord, what do I do? And the Lord said, you go and preach the kingdom of God and you leave me your granddaughter. I'm very well. I will take care of her. When I came back, she was well and she's 5 years old right now. We want to follow Jesus. And another also said, Lord, I will follow you. But let me first go and bid them farewell who are at my house. This guy wanted to go, said goodbye. But Jesus said to him, no one having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. No one putting his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. To follow Christ ain't no piece of cake. I thought it was, but it ain't no piece of cake, and I found out. But it is a privilege and an honor to follow Christ. Amen. I was reminded of a story of a couple. Sometimes you move from your first love. And I was reminded of this couple that were driving down the road, and his wife was in the passenger side. And all of a sudden, the wife looked at her husband. He said, you remember when we met? He said, you used to drive with one hand and the other hand. You had me holding me. You had it wrapped around me. He said, what happened? He said, he looked at her. He said, you moved. You started looking outside the door. So you're the one that moves from your first love. We have to protect that. We have to protect it with everything that we have. It's not everything that I do in the ministry. It's only a plus from the Lord Jesus Christ. But the greatest ministry is your first love. You first love to minister to the Lord and let him minister to you. And from there you will go to nations. From there you will go to prisons. From there you will do many things. Because the Lord loves his people. Amen. And many of us, we say we'll go, but we have not considered the price of following Jesus. We don't understand. And when I started on this journey, I didn't know what it was in standing in the front line. And I know that when I answered the call, the Lord told me specifically something that has hold me all these years. And it was simple words. Obey me now, understand later. Has it cost to obey? Robert, you know. Joe knows. Tina knows. We all know. Because you don't get to do what you want to do. But the reward is better than your sacrifice. The reward is better. I don't know where else to go. The Lord has not delivered me from 16 years of being a drug addict just to go sit down and look pretty. But he's delivered me from a strong hand of the enemy. He has delivered me from death. He has delivered me from many, many things. And what else can I give to the Lord? And I don't want to be no Christian just playing with the water. But I want to get in. And it costs us to get in. I know you still love me. I heard a quote not long ago. A few days ago. What did the letter tell the stamp? He said, follow me and I'll take you to places. What does Jesus tell you today? Follow me and I'll take you to places. Stick to me and you will go to places. Stick with Joe and Charlotte and you can go. He is very, very faithful. He's so faithful that I said, Lord, you know, sometimes I cry out to him. And I said, Lord, how could you have looked at me? Look at how terrible I was. I wasn't there for my children. And I don't have a problem to go up to people and tell them my testimony. Because he said that they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. And this testimony is not mine. And I tell the devil every opportunity that I have, I'm going to expose you. I'm going to tell it. I'm going to tell what you've done to me. And I'm going to lift up the name of Jesus. And Jesus said, as long as you give me the glory, the victor will always be yours. Hallelujah. Sometimes I go to the prison and I tell people, you know what? I don't have nothing for these people. And the Lord said, that's good. Because it's not about you. It will never be about you. It's about the Lord. He said, you open your mouth and I'll fill it up. But sometimes the enemy comes and says, you know what? They ain't gonna listen. So what? You tell them the truth. When I go home, I'm gonna tell you one thing. My family is all scattered everywhere. And the Lord sends me to that house. But you know what? I come in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and I say, Lord, silence the mouth of the enemy and blind the enemy's eyes. He says, everywhere I go and my feet tread, I will possess the land. And I come in the name of Jesus. One day I walked in my sister's house and, well, they're not saved. My sister just passed away not long ago. And I wanted to, stay at a hotel because I had been traveling and I was tired. And going to her house, it's an old house and, you know, they're not saved. And I really wanted to be with the Lord. Because I still had to go to Mexico or somewhere else. Well, I said, well, I'm going to go to a hotel. I told my sister. She said, no, why don't you stay here? And I said, well, you know, I saw that maybe the Lord wanted to do something there. And I really didn't want to. But then my brother-in-law, he's drinking, and he comes right to my face, and he tells me, you know what, I'm going to drink all night long. And I said, the devil is a liar. I'm going to stay. The devil is a liar. He thinks I'm going to run from him. He's crazy. And I went and looked at where the place that I was going to stay, and God is my witness that there was rat poop all over the place, that in that bed and in the floor. And I said, in the name of Jesus, get that broom and get those clean sheets and put them on. Well, the Lord made it to a place where, you know what? They were arguing in one room and I had the rest of the house to get the anointing. And started anointing that house in the name of Jesus. And they went and knelt down and started praying for the souls. They were fighting in one place and I was fighting for them in the other place. Hallelujah. The devil is a liar. In the morning that I woke up, I'm on my sister's table, and she comes in her wheelchair, and she's listening to the word that the Lord, when I was reading, she was listening to the word. You never run from the enemy. Hallelujah. He's bold, but you should be bold too, and he knows that I'm bold. Because I used to be bold for the kingdom of darkness. Now I am bold for Jesus. And I have no problem to talk to people. Hallelujah. When I was coming back from India, I was in the plane, and I know that the one that next to me is stuck with me for many hours. And I start talking to him, tell him hello and my greetings and etc. And then I try to get in there about Jesus. And he says that he doesn't believe in anything. He doesn't practice religion. He's Hindu, but he doesn't practice no religion. And I was really a little bit tired, but you know what? I know that if I have that opportunity to share something, I'm going to do it. So I said, oh, Holy Spirit, what is it? There's a story. I know, Holy Spirit, that you got a story or something that you can bring to this man. And I said, well, you know what? Let me share a story with you. And so he agreed. And I said, there was this pastor that he walked into this barber shop. And he had his Bible, and the barber, he cut his hair off. You know, he cut his hair and et cetera and saw his Bible. And when he finished with him, he told the man, he said, you know what? I don't think that God exists. He says, and the man said, excuse me? And then he said, like, why not? He said, because if God existed, there wouldn't be all this thing going on in this world. And so the pastor really couldn't say anything. But when he walked out the barber shop, there was, he looked up, and then all of a sudden God put a man right there with long hair. And he was hearing the radio. He took the young man into the barber shop, and he says, well, you know what? I don't believe in barbers. He said, what are you talking about? He says, well, if the barbers exist, this man wouldn't have so long hair. He said, it's because he doesn't come to me. He said, exactly. It's because you don't go to God. That's why you don't believe that he exists. Hallelujah. And that's one story you can give to somebody that doesn't believe in Christ. Tell them about the hair. Or taking somebody that with long hair. God is good. Hallelujah. He is so awesome. I am amazed at what all he's doing in the ministry. But I'm always mindful that it is not what I'm doing in the ministry, because it's not about me. It's because I have answered the call in following Christ. Hallelujah. And there's a world that he loves. And he told me from the beginning, he says, Cynthia, if I'm going to send you to this world, I don't want them to see you. I go, oops, excuse me. That means self have to get out. There's times that I want to do things that I can't do. But you know what? It doesn't matter. He's worthy. The reward is greater than the sacrifice. Amen. We're almost there. It's what I tell people. People say, you know what, Sister Cynthia, I don't feel like going to church anymore. And I said, girlfriend, it ain't about your feelings. It's about faith. I was talking to a young girl not long ago, and she was saying, like, she was telling me, she says, well, I am a pastor's daughter, but I don't have that passion. I said, do you love Jesus? I said, do you really love Jesus? And she was bothered because I asked her, well, if she really loved Jesus. And I said, do you really love Jesus? And she said, what do you mean? And I picked up the word. I said, do you love Jesus? This is the word that's going to change you. I might not have the education, but when it comes to the word of God, I love the word. And the word has changed me. That word is a fountain of life. That is a soap, and if you don't take a bath, you're going to stink. And you can't afford to step away from that word. You need it every day. You don't feel it, you do it. You tell this flesh you're going to die. You're going to hang on that cross. You're going to read. And what? You're going to pray too. Okay, because of the time. Let me see. Did I read all of it? And another also said, Lord, I will follow you, but let me first go and bid them farewell who are at my house. But Jesus said to him, okay, already. Okay, let's go to Esther. This one, I love Esther. Esther is a special woman. And the Lord is raising up Esther's. And not only that, he's raising up Deborah's. Warriors. We have to think like the Bible. Amen. He's raising up warriors. Not Eve that was deceived. Our mother Eve was deceived. But Deborah is a warrior. And God is raising up warriors for this time. Then Mordecai told them to answer Esther. Do you not think in your heart that you will escape in the kingdom, in king's palace any more than all the other Jews? For if you remain, I want you to get this, completely silent at this time and relieve, I mean, sometimes you get very comfortable. If you remain silent, he says, deliverance will arise for the Jews from another place. He says, in other words, if you don't go, I'm going to pick up somebody else from somewhere else. But you and your father's house will perish. Yet who knows whether you have come to the kingdom for such a time as this? He said, you know what? If you don't raise up and answer that call, I can raise somebody else. But you and your house will perish. And that, I wrote some notes here. He says, incomparable opportunity. God uses people to accomplish his purposes. I didn't know India was in store for me. I didn't know Romania and Peru and Mexico. When I remember when I started going to Mexico, I say, here I go again. Raise this little $75 or a dollar, whatever. But it has paid off. Do not become weary in doing well. And Esther was God's prepared servant for that hour. And Esther was God's prepared servant for that hour. God accomplishes his purposes even when we disobey his call. But we are the losers. Mordecai did not want Esther's gift. He wanted her life. Surrendered to the Lord. She became a living sacrifice to accomplish the work of God. And that's what God wants us to do this morning. Are we really that sacrifice? I don't know, we have some music or something. I won't keep you too long and don't go to sleep on me. We're almost there. There comes Randy. I know that there's many of you that have been called. And perhaps you're weary in the battle. Not only that, you get to pick where you want to serve. And God's told you somewhere else. But you say, I like this comfort zone. And I'm doing something for the kingdom of God. And you can get very stale. And the call becomes cold. It just becomes just doing something. And the passion goes away. I remember one time I walked into the prison. And I said, oh, no, what am I doing here? And immediately the Lord said, you moved for me. When you lose your passion for prisons, when you lose your passion for ministry, passion for the word, you need to check your life. The altar is not for the sinners only. It is for the priests. It is for the saints. If the Lord has spoken to you this morning and you need a touch from the Master, you need to refine that fire, that evangelist spirit. Don't be silent. But answer that call. If you have never received the Lord Jesus Christ, Today is that day. The Lord wants to do something for you. It's not for my benefit. Never will be. But this altar is for you and for me.